This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. How are you doing, Nick?
Hi, Johnny. Doing well. How about yourself?
Yep, very good. Let's start today's conversation with the latest from this side of the Atlantic and the new inflation figures. UK CPI remains at the Bank of England's target rate of 2%. I know markets were expecting maybe a tad under that at 1.9%. So perhaps some disappointment for markets today. And of course, all eyes will be on the Bank of England's interest rate decision next month. Have these figures, has this affected market predictions for a rate cut next month?
Well, it's a tricky one because, you know, we are at 2% inflation, even though the forecast was for 1.9. Details within that CPI report arguably are important here, like which parts of the CPI. I think you were mentioning, Johnny, that it was part of the services. Is that right? There was something specific in there that showed some red flags?
Yeah, areas like services, which include everything from restaurants to hairdressers and so on, price increases remain persistent. So they're probably mindful of a cut in rates if that services number is remaining as it was.
Yeah, and that's a key point there too, is thinking about, you know, not just the overall headline number, but within the report, what it's telling us about UK consumers, et cetera. Because when we're talking about rate cuts, one of the terrible, you know, mistakes that a central bank can make is cutting interest rates too soon and just reviving inflation again. That being said, I mean, the UK at 2% inflation, they're a lot closer to that is their target, 2%. I think what the Bank of England is now looking for is that it's actually going to stay there, that it's not going to rise back, jump back up the second any idea of rate cuts starts forming. And maybe that's a little bit of the concern here today, just slightly higher than expected. Not to mention, it also made some moves in the currency world. We were talking about this just before we jumped on, that the dollar index is actually down pretty strongly today, broke that 104 level. We've talked about that on the podcast several times, the 104 DXY support zone that's been held back since March, officially broke today, or at least it is trading below that level at the time of us recording this. Arguably, there's a number of reasons why that could be. It's just momentum to the downside for the dollar. But also, you know, if you see other central banks maybe poised more likely for a hawkish stance or holding interest rates at where they're at and not cutting as much, it's all about relativism when it comes to the currency world. Well, if the central bank in the US is confidently looking to cut interest rates now, at least according to market forecasts, right? We see like a 98% chance that they cut in September, according to Fed funds futures. That's the thing. We have to think about that. It's all relative. When you see news for one central bank or one currency, it impacts the other ones. You know, kind of some interesting moves in the dollar front. Big move lower. The UK, the pound, as you mentioned earlier, we are trading above 1.3 on the pound, which is a high of the year. Just showing momentum is clearly not with the bulls for the dollar right now. In fact, bulls for the pound have come out full swing, really, really pushing price higher here. So we'll have to keep tabs on that going forward to see what the central bank there does, and just as importantly, what the Federal Reserve is set to do in their upcoming meetings as well.
Looking at the numbers where you are, Nick, the NASDAQ is down 2%. That's quite a significant chunk. What's happening there?
There's a lot of interesting stories happening in the stock market. Maybe as interesting, by the way, to the NASDAQ being down 2% is that on the same day, the Dow Jones is actually hitting a high at 0.25% up. So we actually see the Dow up today on the same day the NASDAQ is down. This has not been the story of the year or last 2 years. We've actually seen the opposite. Tech just seems to never stop going up. And you know, value stocks or more stable companies just get left behind. And also, you know, the other one is the Russell. The recent move in the Russell has been insane since the last time I was on the podcast. The Russell, since Thursday of last week until now, at the time of recording, is up just shy of 10%. The small cap index just absolutely ripped on the idea that, okay, CPI is coming down for the US. We may be actually seeing a stronger chance for a soft landing. That is the theory there, at least for small caps. The reason I bring that up is because, you know, today, the NASDAQ down 2%, there was also a headline here that goes with this. Mixed in with all this rate cut optimism is also the uncertainty around who our next president is going to be. Is it going to be Biden staying in the White House, or are we going to see a swap back to Donald Trump? Again, this has been the rematch of the decade with these two going back at it again. And recently, at least according to betting websites, as well as the market itself, which in my view is the ultimate betting website. You know, when you watch what the financial markets are doing, they're telling you what investors and traders who are usually, you know, at the top highest level, very, very wise, very smart people, they're buying and selling different things. Well, we see, you know, a lot of increased probabilities that Trump is going to take office back in November. And if that does happen, there are a lot of different question marks that come with that. One of the big ones, and investors may remember, traders, investors may remember that, and currency traders for that matter, may remember what was happening in 2018 when Trump was going all out in the trade war that he pursued heavily with China. I think a big escalation or confirmation that that drama is not over was made clear to us this morning, where Trump basically seems to be taking a hard stance on Taiwan with their defense, with transactions with China. Basically, he made some statements in regards to the Taiwan situation that I think the market sniffed out that, you know, Trump is coming back with some vengeance on that trade war stuff that we saw in 2018, especially with his introduction or his idea of increasing tariffs and all the sorts of ways he plans on foreign, you know, imports and exports and that sort of trade is clearly a pivotal part to what he has proposed in his leadership campaign. So I think that the market is just saying, okay, these tech giants are sensitive to a disruption in the way they're making so much money. If Taiwan, which is a fab producer for, you know, NVIDIA and for the US semiconductor trade, if there's some concern there, that is clearly why the NASDAQ, I would say, is down 2% today. There's also something I would throw in there too, which is Trump has basically suggested tax cuts for some of these giant corporations, which without putting any sort of personal bias on there, I mean, that's more money in the pockets of big, ginormous companies. Do they need more money in their pockets? That is a hot topic and a debate for everyone to have. But in terms of winning the tech race, more money in the pockets of giants gives them more ammunition, more liquidity to invest in investment in research and development to continue to stay on top on the semiconductor trade, which is an imperative one to this whole, you know, AI revolution. So there's a lot here, and there's a mixed sentiment as to what happens if what president takes office. But at this point, it is kind of unavoidable in our conversation about what how it will impact the markets. So he did also make one mention that is important to the currency world as well, is that he did mention that on regards to Jerome Powell, he was going to keep him there at least for the remainder of his duration. So I think that there's some security in that concept, because largely they think the financial community would say that overall Powell is doing a pretty good job. Again, up for debate, but everything is. So overall, the community around finance seems to think he's doing okay.
Absolutely fascinating, Nick. And of course, we haven't spoken since those incredibly dramatic events over the weekend, which seems to have changed the narrative and has made it much more likely that we're going to see another Trump presidency in November. Before I let you go, let's briefly move on to tomorrow. We've got the ECB and also a word from you about better than expected retail sales in your part of the world.
Yeah, retail sales being strong, I think, is kind of a positive thing. Maybe part of the reason the Russell's also jumping up so much is the story for continued decent growth, or the consumer hanging in there while inflation still coming down, is a really positive one. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, the ECB goes on Thursday. We'll see what happens there. We have seen them cut rates. We'll see what their guidance is. That's obviously what is always going to be most important. But the euro breaking a multi-month high here recently, as well as the pound, you know, the euro breaking 1.09 in the last day or so. So we'll see if those gains can hold and what the ECB has in store for us. So definitely a highlight for Thursday.
Okay, Nick, thank you very much for joining us. We'll speak to you on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.